rock star. As fate would have it, the last time I ever had the dream was early in the morning on Friday, April 4th. That was the day of the concert, so it might have been nice to have slept well, but by the time I had showered the dream away and headed downstairs for breakfast, I was so nervously hyper that there was no way a lack of sleep was going to slow me down. I would just have to crash on Saturday. My mom and Jeffrey were down in Philadelphia, but they were due to get back in time for the concert. My dad and I had never spoken again about his choice not to attend the concert, but I know my mom and he had had at least one discussion about it. The kind of discussion that rattles your teeth, that you can't help overhearing no matter how loud you crank your Discman. So that morning, when the issue was on both of our minds, he and I didn't have a single safe word to say to each other. It was weird being so nervous and so quiet at the same time. But as soon as I got to school, the quiet part became a memory. Renee assaulted me in homeroom with a copy of the program in her hand. It was thicker than any school program I had ever seen, with a beautiful, glossy cover shot of the band on stage. When you opened the program, there was Jeffrey. His kindergarten photo was blown up nearly to full-page size, and beneath it, there was a statement in neat black calligraphy. All proceeds from tonight's concert will benefit the Jeffrey Alper Medical Trust. Simply unbelievable. Thanks to the amazing brains of two girls, Jeffrey had gone from being a regular little kid to being a medical trust. I had to admit, despite the strangeness of the whole thing, Renee and Annette had done an incredible job with the whole project. When the homeroom bell rang, Annette came rushing in to give me the latest totals on box office receipts and the profits from the program ads. As soon as she and Renee were standing together, I noticed that they had both gotten really short haircuts. Really short haircuts. But you know me by now. I just chalked it up to coincidence, thanked them for all their hard work, answered a few questions about Jeffrey, and went to class. That day, Miss Palma, 3 tickets and a gigantic basket of cookies for the bake sale, was showing a movie based on the last book we had read. So, of course, I spaced out completely. I couldn't even tell you what I thought about, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't Homer's use of foreshadowing in the Odyssey. Mostly, I think, I practiced playing the All-City songs in my head. Somehow, between Miss Palma saying, "Please take note of the dramatic irony in this scene," and my brain saying, "Bip-bop-di-di-du-ah," I got through the class. The whole day was like that, but eventually, even a Friday at middle school has to come to an end. The last bell rang, and I started to head out for the bus. Then the intercom in Mr. Watrous's room buzzed, and I got called to the office. Now that will put a lump in your throat, right? On the way there, I alternated between running, so I could find out the news fast, and trudging, so I wouldn't have to know yet. Either way, my mind never slowed down for a second. Oh, geez, Grandma fell and broke her hip. Oh, God, Dad is here to kidnap me, so I can't be at the concert. He'll probably set me up with a slide rule and a pile of tax returns and some cheesy motel by the interstate. All he has to do is hold me for about 6 hours, and it will all be over. My hopes, my dreams, my big conga solo, ruined. Plus, I hate math. And while these surface thoughts were providing some distraction, I knew that the other 9/10 of this mental iceberg, the deadly part that was hidden below, was all about Jeffrey. When I got there, my mom and brother were standing by the chairs that bad kids sit in while they're waiting to get reamed out by the principal. My mom was chatting calmly with one of the secretaries, while the other was giving Jeffrey chocolates from a big jar on her desk. Naturally, I had been going to that school for 3 years without ever being offered candy from that lady's desk. But whatever. Jeffrey spotted me right away.
"Steven, guess what? Today is your concert!"
"Yeah, buddy, I know. What's going on? Are you all right? Was your blood work okay?"
"I don't know. I'm only 5. There was a clown in my hospital room today. He was pretty cool. He painted my face so I could be Spider-Man. I wanted green Power Ranger, but the clown said he didn't have enough green face paint. Isn't that weird? He wasn't such a prepared clown, I don't think."
I needed some facts, and I needed them pronto. "Mom?"
"Don't interrupt, Steven."
"Mom, is everything okay?"
"Sure."
"Then why are you here? Why did you page me and give me a heart attack?"
"We were on our way home, and I thought you might like to spend some time with your family on your big day. So we picked you up. Don't be so dramatic."
"I'm not being dramatic, Mom. I was worried."
"Well, worry no more. Your mother is on the scene, and everything is under control."
"Yeah,
Things had been completely out of hand before she stepped in to rescue me heroically from my long, painful bus ride with Annette and Renee.